Amen? So let's pray that we would all have some fun tonight. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you so much that we can have fun in church, and I pray that you quicken our minds, and I pray everyone would be awake and alert, and you would impart your word supernaturally, permanently in their brain and on their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that whenever you memorize something, that you have a physical imprint on your brain? When you memorize something, it actually stamps in your brain. And the more you repeat something, the more permanent that imprint is, and the more emotion that is tied to that memory, the longer you're going to learn it. So we're going to have a lot of fun, so it's going to be a positive emotion, and we're going to imprint it in your brain. So you're going to learn it. Amen? Okay, what's your name? No, okay. What's the name of the church? Who is our Savior?
Jesus.
How do we say Jesus here at the Rock?
Jesus.
Okay, Genesis is the book of?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, do you know that most people, within a day or two of hearing a message, a sermon, they forget what the message is about? So I was looking at all the sermons, at least I've done for this year alone, so it's about that thick of a file. And I was just thinking, man, everyone's forgot everything that we've ever said. It's kind of discouraging. One of the reasons we do these quizzes is because after we do a series, whether it be a book or a series on Jesus' identity or whatever, it's important that we go back and kind of review what we should learn, at least some of the things we should learn. So part of the reason is this, to go back to Leviticus, kind of hit the high points so we can make sure we got it. And so if someone asks you, you can go like that. So at the end of this, I'll ask you, and we'll do the whole quiz at one time, and you'll be like this. And if you practice, you won't forget it. Matter of fact, some of the stuff I'm going to ask you now is stuff that we did 2 or 3 years ago with Genesis and Exodus, and I've reviewed some here and there, but you're going to know it anyway, right? Because you had it over and in your head, and so you probably know more than you think, okay? You ready? Okay, Genesis, the book of?
Beginning.
Genesis, the book of?
Beginning.
In Genesis, we saw the beginning of the heavens and the earth. We saw the beginning of time. We saw the beginning of light, marriage, sin, the penalty of sin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we saw a lot of things begin, even the nation of Israel, we saw begin in Genesis. Exodus is what from where?
Exit from Egypt.
Say it again. Everyone say exit.
Exit.
From?
Egypt.
Exodus is E-X-O-D-U-S. Is that right?
Yeah.
Every time you see an exit sign for the rest of your life, you're going to think of Exodus because its first two letters are E-X. And then you are exiting or exodusing out of whatever you're exiting from. And whoever's in front of you is Moses. Moses was born with what sentence on his head?
Yeah.
What kind of sentence on his head?
Yeah.
And his mother put him in a what? Say ark.
Ark.
Say ark.
Ark.
His mother put him in a little ark. That's what the Bible says. She sealed it up with tar. And that's how they knew there was oil in the Middle East. Anyway. No, for real, do you know that when they did Noah's Ark, that they did suspect that there was oil wherever that was at the time, and that's how they went looking for oil over there in that part of the world. Moses' mother put him in an ark, just like Noah's built an ark, and they were both put in water. Pharaoh's what found them in the water?
God.
Say it again.
God.
Pharaoh's daughter found him in the water, and she raised him 40 years in her home. He raised 40 years. In her home, he killed an Egyptian. He ran and was a fugitive for 40 years. So at 80 years old, he came to Mount
Sinai.
Mount what?
Sinai.
If you're a visitor, this is Sinai for sinuses. That's Mount Sinai right there. So this is Mount Sinus or Sinai. Matter of fact, Moses died on Mount what?
Nebo.
Now, that's 2 years ago we talked about that, believe it or not. A year and a half ago, he'll say he still got it. Right, because you remember Nebo. It's knee and then bow, for however you figure bow in that. So Moses leads the people out on the Exodus, and they walk around for 40 years. And we're in the book of Leviticus. After about 3 or 4 months, they get to Mount
Sinai.
Moses goes up Mount Sinai twice, 40 days and 40 nights, fast and praise. God gives them all this stuff. He comes down, he builds a tabernacle, and he gives them the book of Leviticus. Now we're in the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus, Abraham had a son named
Isaac.
Had a son named Isaac. Abraham had a son named. Did I tell y'all to get in your quiz position? Okay, tell the person next to you what that means. That's why you're not really projecting, okay? You're not in your position. Everyone take a deep breath. In, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Okay, Abraham had a son named?
Isaac.
Abraham had a son named?
Isaac
had a son named? Isaac's dad was Abraham. Okay, not Jacob Ram. Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to. How many sons did he have? How many sons did he have? How many disciples did Jesus have? How many months in a year? How many hours in the day? How many hours at night? Right, it's 12 hours in the day and 12 hours at night. You were right. I'm not trying to trick you. Okay, how many toes do you have? 12. Okay. 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. 12 is the number of governmental perfection. God uses numbers very specifically. All numbers in the Bible have a specific meaning to God. And he uses numbers consistently for different things. And 12 is one of those numbers for governmental perfection. Even Ishmael, Abraham's other son, the son that the Muslims claim their connection to Abraham, he had 12 sons as well. 12 princes came from him, the Bible says. So 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. And God uses these numbers very specifically because God is coordinated. Say that with me. Coordinated. Give me hand motions now. Coordinated. One more time, everybody. Coordinated. So God uses these numbers very specifically. And Abraham had a son named Isaac had a son named Jacob's name was changed to Israel had 12 sons. Israel had how many sons? And his third son's name was? Say Levi. Say Levi. How many sons did Levi have? What was the third book of the Bible? Leviticus, of course. I wouldn't ask you that one. Okay? Now think about this. When I ask you what Leviticus is about, you're going to say, I'm going to say it's an Old Testament book about, say holiness. Say holiness. Say it three times. Okay, now think of Leviticus, LP, LP. Say LP. Say LP again. Again. No, again. Again, okay. LP, say laws pertaining to. That's the first LP. Second LP is Levitical priest. Say it one more time. One more time. One more time, then we're going to do something else. Something else, we're going to say it backwards. Very good. Okay, Abraham had a son named Isaac had a son named Jacob's name was changed to his third son was all the descendants of Levi are called the what? Everyone say Levites. Say Levites. Say Levites. Now Moses had a brother named Aaron. Moses had a brother named what? They were both Levites, descendants of Levi. Only Aaron's sons of all the Levites, only Aaron's sons could be priests. Only Aaron's sons could be what?
Priests.
Only Aaron's sons could be what?
Priests.
Watch this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Levi, a bunch of kids, Moses and Aaron. Moses had a brother named Aaron. Aaron had a brother named Moses. Only Aaron's sons could be the priests. All the other Levites would serve Aaron's sons, the priests. Okay? Watch this. LP, LP, laws pertaining to the Levitical priests. The book about the book of Leviticus are the laws given to Aaron's sons so they can teach all the other people of all the Israelites holiness. That's what the book is about. Okay, so let's do it again. Leviticus is an Old Testament book about what?
Holiness.
Say it again.
Holiness.
Say it again. Three things about holiness. God is holy. Say God is holy.
God is holy.
Say it again.
God is holy.
We are to be holy. Say it again.
We are to be holy.
Say it again.
We are to be holy.
And God makes us holy. Say God makes us holy.
God makes us holy.
Say it again.
God makes us
holy. So three things about holiness.
God is holy. We are to be holy. God makes us holy.
So what God said is, I'm holy. I'm going to tell you how to be holy. I'm going to give this book to Aaron's sons, and they're going to teach you about holiness. And that book is Leviticus. Are you with me? And we're going to give it to you at Mount
Sinai.
Very good. Now, once you have that book, the priests are going to be the go-between between me and you. Now, here is the difference. Let me say this. The Old Testament is a what to the New Testament?
Foundation.
Everyone say foundation.
Foundation.
Say foundation.
Foundation.
Say it loud.
Foundation.
Because it points to who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Okay. And so the Old Testament's a what? To the New Testament, because it does what?
Points to Jesus.
Now, so whenever you learn something in the Old Testament, you have to ask yourself, what is it trying to teach us for the New Testament? Because God wrote the Old Testament through his prophets and Moses, etc., in such a way that it would lay a foundation for the New Testament. And one of those things is the concept of the priest. The priest in the Old Testament, you had to be the son of who?
Aaron.
Who?
Aaron.
Who?
Aaron.
Aaron was the high priest. Doesn't mean he was a priest who was high. He was just a high priest. Okay. By the way, his two sons got high, and they went and did something. They tried to offer fire in the tabernacle when they were drunk, and they got killed. So that did happen. They weren't high. They got high. They were priests that were high. They just weren't the high priest. Anyway, Aaron was the high priest, and only his sons could be the priest. I'm going to say that one more time. Aaron was the high priest, and only his sons could be priests. Remember, the Old Testament, so what's the New Testament? In the New Testament, Jesus is the great high priest, and only his born-again children could be a royal priesthood, as the New Testament says we are. So when God laid that foundation, he's like, just keep this in mind. Because every little detail about all the stuff I'm telling you is all going to play itself out in the spiritual in the New Testament. So he's laying a foundation. Now, four things we know about the priest. One, they were called. If I do this, you say called.
Called.
Say it one more time.
Called.
They were called out of the congregation. The congregation was all the Jews. He said, I want you to separate to me all of Aaron's sons. God wants you and I to be separated from the world. You may live in the world, but you don't want to be of the world. You are of God. The other thing that the priests were cleansed, this is, I wrote down in my notes, shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Puff. I got to do this, okay? So if I do that, you say cleansed, okay? Hey. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Puff. So this one is what? And then they were what? And they were washed. They actually were cleansed. When you receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit cleanses you of your sin. You are baptized, which is symbolic of your spiritual cleansing. Same thing happens to you as a priest of God. Then the other thing about the priests is they were clothed. They got different clothes to separate them from. The Bible says that God gives us robes of righteousness. Remember, God is holy. We have to be holy. God makes us holy. He makes us holy by giving us robes of righteousness. It's his righteousness, not ours. Whenever you say, I am good because of something I did, that is self-righteousness. The Bible says your self-righteousness is like filthy rags. So anytime I'm talking about all the good you are, just stop, because you'll never win that argument. God's holiness is the highest standard. So the priests were what? They were what? And they were what? Say it again. Everyone say clothed. C-L-O-T-H-E, clothed. Okay? And then the last one is they were consecrated, but I don't have a word for that, so I don't have emotion, so I'll just do this. Say consecrated.
Consecrated.
Say it again.
Consecrated.
Say it one more time.
Consecrated.
Say it backwards. Okay, four things about the priest, four C words. C words. One is? You, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, that you and I, as Christians, are a royal priesthood. There are some religions that have the Old Testament style of priesthood, where they have a person that you go to, and that person goes to God, and then comes back to tell you what God wants. God don't want that. Jesus says, I want to establish a whole new thing. I'm just using that as a foundation for you to understand the concept of the priest, because I'm going to make you a priest. So when you ask Christ to be your Savior, you are a priest. All that means is you're a go-between. You represent God to people, and you, why? Because they're not going to see God. They want to see God in you. You introduce them to God so they can have a relationship with God. Same thing, the concept of saint. The Bible calls a Christian a saint. It's not a person who's done the things that certain religions say you have to do, and then you get deemed a saint. That's not biblical. What's biblical is that you and I are saints. Just read the Bible. Because Paul talks to the people in Rome and all these different cities, the saints in those cities are simply the Christians. It's as simple as that. It's not a big deal. God didn't want that big hierarchy. He wants everyone to just worship him and have a relationship with him one-on-one. So the Old Testament, so what to the New Testament?
Amen.
Say it one more time.
Amen.
Because it does what?
Points to
who?
Jesus.
Points to who?
Jesus.
And the priests were what?
All.
They were what? They were what? They were what? Okay, whenever you brought an offering to God, offering means to bring near. To bring what?
Near.
Say what?
Near.
What?
Near.
Bring near. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, it says like bring near, bring near. Okay, I'll say bring, you say near. The offering means to bring.
Near.
Bring.
Near.
Okay, very good. So when you gave an offering, you couldn't give God anything. Now, I'm going to give you a little tune here, a little tune. And I want you to tell me what TV program this is from. Sanford and Son. Everyone say Sanford and Son. Okay, you remember Sanford and Son? Sanford and Son had what in his house?
Junk.
You can't give God junk. You had to give God your best when you brought an offering to God. He always said, bring something without blemish. Many times we give God junk. We pray to God when we're tired. We read the Bible only on during commercials. We don't bring pen and paper and or think in sermon. We just want to be entertained. We don't give God, when we give him things, whether it be money or resources, whatever, we give God, you know, the leftover. God don't want it. He wants your best. If you give God your best, you will experience God's, more of God's best. But if you give God junk, you're not going to reap the rewards that you can. What does that mean? Is that if you pray when you're falling asleep, you're not going to be as blessed if you pray when you're awake. I set my beginning of my day aside for all my study time, so because by the time the end of the day, my brain is fried. So what I do is I get up in the morning, and I exercise first thing so I can wake up. And then I'm awake, and I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to read the Bible, pray like that. And on Sunday, especially on Sunday, I get up and run really hard. So when I come here, I'm ready. I'm not walking in like, okay, let's do church. This morning, I was trying this new training technique that someone told me about the other day, where you run and you hold your breath. Has anybody ever done this before? Anybody heard about it? Nobody, you never heard about this? This is for real. If you want to increase your endurance. By the way, don't do this. It's not really a big deal. I mean, when I say it's not a big deal, it's not like, you know, Houdini something. But to increase your stamina, you run or swim or whatever. Obviously, if you're swimming on the water, you can't hold your breath. But when you run, you run a sprint and you don't breathe. And it increases your stamina, causes your body to get, you know, to basically tax itself and blah, 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 blah. So I was doing it this morning. I was running up these hills, doing these intervals up the hills where you sprint, then you jog back and sprint, jog back. And I was seeing how I could hold my breath. And it's pretty cool. But the thing is that, okay, God, when I go to church today at 8 o'clock today, I want to be ready, especially on quiz day where it's a lot of energy. You want to give God your best. And when you go to bed at night, you want to be able to say, God, I gave you my best, and God to say, no, yes, you did, or no, you didn't. You don't want to give God scraps, because the reason that people's walk with God is not strong is because they're not giving God their best. They're just giving God a little, you know, I go to church two or three times a month, and then the rest of the time I'll just do whatever, read a verse. I mean, do you really think you're going to grow by reading a verse in a day? You know, you might buy these little devotional books that have one verse and a little paragraph. That's all good and fine for if you equate it to food, spiritual food, it's like a McNugget. That's all it is a McNugget. You can't live on a McNugget. You can't live on five McNuggets. You need a meal, okay? So anyway, you want to give God your best. Offering means to bring.
Near.
Come on now.
Near.
Say it again.
Near.
Because God has a high, and you're going to say standard. Say standard.
Standard.
When I say da-da-da-da-da, I want you to think standard. So God has a high what?
Standard.
God has a high what? The priests were what? The priests were whose sons?
Aaron.
Whose sons?
Aaron.
And the priests were what-ites?
Levites.
They were what-ites?
Levites.
Can Okay, because Aaron was a descendant of Levi. There were seven feasts, in the, seven holidays in the Jewish calendar. Seven holidays that they had. Seven is the number of spiritual completion. Spiritual what?
Completion.
Everyone say completion.
Completion.
Remember, God uses numbers. He's very coordinated. He uses numbers very specifically. And this number of spiritual completion. Eight is the number of superabundance. Say superabundance.
Superabundance.
Say superabundance.
Superabundance.
Now, here's why it's important to notice. Because God, when he said we have seven is the number of completion, because he, one of the reasons that he worked 6 days when he created the heavens and earth, and then we rested on the seventh day, okay? So he worked 6 days, rested on the seventh day. That's why we have a seven-day week, because God created a seven-day week, and he tells us about the seven-day week he created in the Bible. The reason we have a 12-month year is because he created a 12-month year, and he tells us about it in the Bible. Matter of fact, if you ever read in the Bible about the Maseroth is all the zodiac signs. There's 12 zodiac signs for 12 sections of the year. And those 12 zodiac signs are actually the 12 signs of the gospel message, not your horoscope. Think about horoscope, your scope into your horror. It is not real. It's from the devil. The 12 zodiac signs are 12 components of the gospel message. And each symbol, each month has a, what they call a decan. It's a symbol, like Aquarius. It'll be a water bearer, okay? And then you have one main symbol, and then you have three minor symbols that complete the story of that month. Well, there's 12 of them. God put them up there. That's why we have a 12-month system. We have a seven-day week, because God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. We have night and day, because God put the sun in the sky for the day and the moon at night, and he tells that he did it in the Bible. What's interesting is that what we experience is what God said he did. What man is trying to say is God didn't do any of that. That just happens a weird coincidence. We have a 30-day month because of the moon. It has a 30-day cycle. That's why we have a 30-day month. It's actually 29 and a half days. We have a 30-day month. Why? Because God did it that way, and God told us that the stars in the sky and the moon and the sun are there to govern the day and the night and for months, seasons, and years and days. He tells us that's what he did. That's what we have. So all his numbers are a symbol of how he has coordinated everything together. And so he worked 6 days, rested on the seventh day. We happen in our culture to work 4.5 days and rest 2.5 because we go home early on Friday. Most people do that. So, but he says, I want you to work 6 days and rest the seventh day. Now, why is that important? Because he says seven is the number of completion, eight is the number of superabundance. That means if you go a seven-day week, and then the next day, even though the next day is the first day of the next week, it's also the eighth day of the previous week. Okay? So let's say in the Old Testament, you went from Saturday to Saturday. That's a week. Well, Sunday is the eighth day or the first day of the next week. Sunday is the day of superabundance. Sunday is the day after Sabbath. Sunday is the day Jesus rose from the dead. That's why we're having church today. It's a day of superabundance. That's the day he rose. Okay? When we saw on Easter, we saw that it was a day after Sabbath. Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, so we have seven festivals. Now, these seven festivals are also a what to the New Testament? Say it again. Say it again. They all point to Jesus. First one is Passover. Say Passover. Passover, all the Jews are in Egypt, they're in slavery. And God says to Moses, I'm going to send plagues on Pharaoh. How many plagues?
Ten.
Say 10.
Ten.
Say 10.
Ten.
10 is a number of ordinal perfection or completion. If you go to 10, you use all the digits. And after nine plagues, he says, okay, Pharaoh, I'm going to send another plague. I'm killing the firstborn, every child, every animal, unless you put the blood of a lamb on the door. The blood of a what?
Lamb.
Say it loud.
Lamb.
So I want you to take this lamb into your house, a lamb without blemish, a lamb according to my standard, in your house for 4 days. I want you to love this lamb. I want you to develop a relationship with this lamb. And then after 4 days, you're going to kill this lamb. Put the blood on the lamb on the door. Okay? Put the blood of the lamb on the door. When the angel of death comes, it will pass over your house. That's called Passover. That's what that means. Jesus Christ, the New Testament says, is the lamb that was slain for our sin. The New Testament calls Jesus Christ the Passover lamb. In Revelation, it says we will see him as a lamb that was slain. Does that a coincidence? Oh, no. What's also ironic is that he died on Passover. He was crucified at Passover. He did the Passover meal, Last Supper. That's what they were doing. And so not only is he the lamb that was slain, he was slain at the time that the lamb was slain. And it is his blood that causes the angel of death to pass over us. So what God was doing was laying a foundation, an understanding of what Passover lamb was all about. So when Christ came and said, I'm the Passover lamb, you would know what he was all about. So Jesus is the Passover what?
Lamb.
Everyone say lamb.
Lamb.
Say lamb. Next one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread or leaven was like yeast. It was a poison, or not a poison, it was impurity. It made the bread be puffy, like puffy, you know, Puff Daddy or whatever. And if you took the leaven out, the puffiness was gone. It was pita bread. Okay? So Jesus says, after the Passover, you would eat unleavened bread. Jesus takes the leaven or the impurity out of us. Jesus removes our impurity. He removes our what? Removes our what? Removes our what? Next one was the first fruits. Everyone say first fruits. First fruits, when you had a harvest and you grew your crops, the first day they would cut the harvest down and they would take the first fruits, the first of what they got, the best of what they got, and wave it to God and say, we dedicate it to you. And we acknowledge that this is only the beginning of what you are going to bless us with. The Bible says that Christ's resurrection was a first fruits of our resurrection to come. In other words, when he rose from the dead, it was only the beginning of all the other people who would eventually resurrect from the dead after because we were saved. So his resurrection, keyword, say resurrection.
Resurrection.
Christ's resurrection is a first fruit or deposit on our resurrection. Our what?
Resurrection.
Keyword, Christ's resurrection is a first fruits for our what?
Resurrection.
Our what?
Resurrection.
Our what?
Resurrection.
Those are three of the first three holidays. The next holiday was Pentecost. Say Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Penta is five. Pentagram, five. Penta water. Does anybody here you drink Penta water? Anybody heard of Penta water? Okay, it has to do with five molecules. I don't know if it's water, H2O, or whatever it is. I don't know. But five somethings in that water. And so suppose these engineers, we have these five water something, and then it goes into your cells quicker or whatever it is. That's the theory behind it. But there's five. Pentecost was 50 days after first fruits. Once you do first fruits, you count 50 days. And then you have Pentecost. We should celebrate the harvest. Now, watch this. This is interesting. What is the number of spiritual completion?
Seven.
Say it again.
Seven.
Watch this. I want you to count seven times seven. How much is that?
49.
Say 49.
49.
Now, I'm going to ask you another math question. I want you to don't answer right away because I want you to think about this. What is 49 plus one? Very good. Okay, so you got seven, 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 seven. That's seven, the number of spiritual completion, times seven, the number of spiritual completion, plus one. So really it's six times seven plus another seven with another one on it, which is eight, the superabundant day. Are you with me? So you got the number of spiritual completion times the number of spiritual completion and add another one on to make it even superabundant. That's pretty deep. It's on that day that God established in the Old Testament to celebrate the completion of their harvest. And it's on that day that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. If you read in Acts chapter 2, all the people were there in Pentecost. You ever hear of Pentecostal churches? This is where it comes from. On Pentecost, the Old Testament holiday, the Holy Spirit came on the New Testament church and people got saved, started speaking in tongues, and that's why they called it the Pentecostal church, because boom, shakalaka boom, shakalaka boom. Are you with me? But it's a Jewish holiday. But it happens to be a holiday, that the Jewish holiday that the Holy Spirit came and the New Testament church started and 3,000 people got saved. But it's two holidays together. God set up in the Old Testament. So when you think Pentecost, I know you think, well, that's the New Testament. No, that's Old Testament. It just happened to be God was setting them up for the New Testament. So on the Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Say it again. Say it three times.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy
Spirit. Say it loud. Go ahead now. Next one is trumpets. The holiday of trumpets or the festival of trumpets. In the Old Testament, they did a festival of trumpets. Bah, 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 bah. They don't know why they had this holiday, but they did it. Bah, bah, bah. They blew trumpets whenever they were going to war. They blew trumpets when they wanted to remember them, remember something. They also believed that trumpets were blown when the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. In the New Testament, God's going to call us to heaven with the sound of an angel like a trumpet. Who? If you read the book of Revelation, a lot of judgments are pronounced with trumpets. This trumpets is in the Bible. God uses them very specifically. So he says, I want y'all to celebrate trumpets. Why are we celebrating trumpets? Don't worry about it. And then, boom, 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 whoop, the rapture is going to happen with the sound of a trumpet, by the way. When the people caught, you heard a left behind? Well, when people are caught up into the sky to meet the Lord, it's the sound of a trumpet. Woo, woo, sound of a what?
Trumpet.
Say it again.
Trumpet.
On Pentecost, do you send the what? Sent the what?
Holy Spirit.
Say it again. What's this? It's a dove. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a brown dove, okay? It's a brown dove. It's a New Testament dove. New millennium. Okay. Day of Atonement. Everyone say atonement.
Atonement
is three words. I make it up. This is my atonement. At one ment.
One
more time. Say it backwards. Very good. Why? Because on the Day of Atonement was the one day the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies where God was. It's the only day of the year that Aaron, or whoever's the high priest after him, could go in and be in the presence of God and cover over, through a sacrifice, all the sins of all the people. It was a day of at-one-ment when the people and God became one. Atonement will cover over. Atonement means cover over. Atonement means what? Say it again. Say it again. So if you say, you atone for my sins, I'm going to cover over your sin or pay for your sin. Okay? Watch this. What was Aaron's title? Say it again. Say it again. See how you knew that? Someone's like, Aaron. You have a friend named Aaron? He's a high priest. His sons are the priests. He's a Levite. He was called. He was shimmied. On the Day of At-One-Ment was the only day that the high priest can go into be the presence of God. One time a year, Yom Kippur. It was the only day of the whole year he can go in to be with God. And he had to do it every year because the blood of animals don't forgive sin. You got that? Just say yes to make you feel good.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the great high priest. He only had to atone for our sins one time because his blood was sinless. So what God taught us in the Old Testament was that you have to keep doing it over and over again because the blood of animals don't work. Okay, and Jesus says, I only have to do it once because I'm better than that system. Because the blood of lambs is not like my blood. My blood is sinless. Are you following me? So what God did is he said, the Old Testament has a what to the New Testament? And so when they learn about a Day of Atonement, high priest, all this stuff, Jesus says, I'm the high priest. Watch this. I'm going to do all of that better. That's why it's so critical to understand the New Testament. That's why when we go through Leviticus, it's so critical to understand this stuff. So when you read it in the New Testament, you go, wow. Instead of reading great high priest, what's a high priest? He said his blood. What does that mean? Now you know what it means. Are you following me? Tabernacle. Say yes. say tabernacles. The seventh feast was tabernacles where they walked around in little booths. And it was symbolic and reminder that they walked around for 40 years in these little booths. When they were in it after the Exodus, they walked for 40 years. They walked around and God gave them these little shelters to walk around. And so every year they lived in these little shelters to be reminded of how God delivered them from Egypt and provided shelters for them. All these things were reminders of what happened in the past, and they were also pointing to the future. Because this was a day, for us, it was a reminder that one day God is going to give us an eternal dwelling. Remember in John chapter 14, Jesus says, in my Father's house is many mansions. Listen to what he says. In my Father's house, there's mansions. See, a house is small, a mansion's big. He goes, my Father's house is so big, it got mansions in it. That's a big house. Are you following me on that? If you go to La Jolla and go along the beach and see all those big houses on the water, on the cliff, those are mansions. God says, no, you don't understand. I got those in my Father's house. And that's ghetto compared to what I got for you. Because where I'm going, I got gold on the floor. I got pearl gates. Are you following me? That's why the Bible don't talk about heaven. We can't conceptualize heaven. You can't. Do you guys know what a space nebula is? It's a space cloud. You ever see, a lot of times we do the pictures up on the screen of the clouds, and you'll see this purpley, pinkish color thing. It looks like a cloud in the sky, and it's black behind it. It's in the heavens. You ever seen, anybody? Yeah. That is a space cloud. It's called a nebula. Those nebulas are many light years long. A light year is a length of how long the length that light will travel in a year's time. That means light travels at 186,000 miles per second times 60 seconds times 60 minutes in an hour times 24 of those in a day times 365 of those in a year. You multiply all those numbers times 186,000, that's how long one light year is. Okay, I'm sorry I don't have the number. I should know that how long that is, but it's a lot. It's like a jillion. What's a jillion? I don't know. It's just a lot. It's more than a billion and a trillion. Well, those nebulas are, I don't remember how many light years long they are. You know how big that is? It's beyond us. What is that? God says, that's in your world. That's not even in my world. So I can't even talk to you about heaven. You can't even understand that. You can't understand how hot the sun is. The sun is hot. It's hot. It's amazing. Like I remember some crazy stat. I'm going to be wrong on this, but it was something like the amount of energy that the sun burns up in like a second would power the earth for like a month. It was some ridiculous something mess like that. God is so huge. So I can't explain heaven to you. You just have to trust me. So when he says I'm building a mansion and a house, just know it's going to be the bomb. Okay? Tabernacles points to our eternal dwelling. Say dwelling.
Dwelling.
Say dwelling. Dwelling. Okay, we got a couple more things, and then we're going to go start from the beginning and do the whole thing. Jubilee, last one. Jubilee, okay, follow some math with me. A week, 6 days, rest a day. 6 days, rest a day. 6 days, and that rest a day was a Sabbath day, a day of rest. Excuse me. So 1 week is 6 days rest. 1 year is 52 of those. Are you with me? So you also had not only a Sabbath day, you had a Sabbath year. You would do 6-1-6-1 for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, you would take off that whole year. So the system was 6 days rest, 6 days rest, 6 years do that. And then rest a year. Are you with me? That's pretty good, huh? I'll be excited about that. Yeah, okay. I don't know how you're going to eat, but that's all on you. Okay? Now, God says, I want you to do 6 years, rest a year. How many years is that?
Seven.
Seven is the number of spiritual completion. So I want you to do that for 6 years. So you really have a week of years. Okay? If you're reading Daniel, it talks about the week, 69 weeks is 69, seven times years. So here's what Jubilee is. I want you to do that seven-year cycle, 6 and 1, seven times. Remember Pentecost? Remember Pentecost? Remember 50 days, seven times 7 plus 1? I want you to do the same thing, but with years. 7-1 years. I mean, 6-1 years. 6-1 years. Seven times, that's 49 years. And then on the 50th year, remember the day of superabundance of the last seven. 49 plus 1. You take off another year. Now, we did a sermon on that 3 weeks ago called the Year of Jubilee. That's when all debt was forgiven. If you sold yourself into slavery to pay off a debt, you were released. Now, slavery in the Bible is not like the slavery we had in this country. It's very different. In slavery in the Bible was if you owed your brother, your Jewish brother, money. You would go to them and say, I can't pay my debt. Can me and my family work for you and pay it off? They say, yes. And God says very specifically that you were to treat them like family. That was a slave, or at least a slave within the Hebrew nation. They would enslave other people as well. But what happened was, he said, if you did that, if you went to your brother and said, I'm sorry, I can't pay a debt, on Jubilee, you had to forgive him and let him go home. If you bought land from somebody, you had to return the land. Why is that? Because God was trying to get them in their mind to think one day everything's going to be forgiven and all going to start all over. And that's heaven. All these things were the foundation to the New Testament. It's fascinating, every little detail. And because God is, say it with me. Say it one more time. Because God is coordinated, every little detail was coordinated to something that had to do with the New Testament. That's why Jesus Christ's deity cannot be denied. There is so much evidence. Holiness. Let's go back to one, I'll give you an example. Remember holiness? In Leviticus, we learned that when the Jews were walking through the wilderness, and we'll see more of this in the coming months, they had the tabernacle. They had all the Jews camped around the tabernacle in the shape of a cross. We're going to see that in a few months, which is another freaky thing, that you had all these Jews camped around the tabernacle. And if you look from a helicopter, it looked like a cross as they were walking through the wilderness. Isn't that crazy? We'll see that. I'll show you that in a few months, but it's in the Bible. You have to kind of figure out with the numbers, but we'll see it. And where the Jews lived was the camp, called the camp. And if you had a disease, or if you had a bodily emission, or you know the woman had her monthly deal, they had to go outside of the camp, okay, until you were healed, because you were unclean. Didn't mean you were a sinner. You were just unclean, or it was not sanitary. So you would have to go out there and just wait till you healed up. Well, one of those people were a leper. Leper would have to go outside of the camp. A woman with her monthly blood flow would have to go outside of the camp. So they were unclean. If they touched you, you had to go outside the camp for 7 days. Okay, you follow me? Here comes the New Testament. Woman with a blood flow, walking around. Can't touch her. She comes to Jesus and touches Jesus. Is he unclean? No. Why? Holiness. Say it with me.
Holiness.
Say it. No, say it.
God is holy.
Jesus is holy.
We are
so here's Jesus walking around, and according to the Old Testament, yeah, very good. Good. Y'all gonna be walking around like a robot, and someone's gonna go, a foundation. You're going to see a cop. Point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. You know, okay, very good. Someone's going to do this to you. Calls. I'm a priest. I'm shimmying. I'm cleansed. I'm clothed. Okay. That's good. That's what we want. We want you to be like that. Sympathize. I am a priest. What God did is, in the Old Testament, when he laid the foundation, he says, I want you to understand that these things will make you unclean. I want you to understand that these things, these people have to be separated. And if these people touch you, you're unclean. I want you to understand that. Here comes Jesus. They touch him. Well, he's unclean. Nope. He's not you and me. Remember, God is holy. He makes us holy. God cleaned her instead of her making him unclean. Did you follow that? So why this is so important, and why it's so important to know. So when Jesus does his miracles, remember, there might be 5 verses. A woman comes behind Jesus and touches the hem of his garment. And you may think, no big deal. But what if you understand what was really going on? The leper. A leper had to go outside of town till he was clean. Jesus touched the leper. Jesus was a rabbi. Well, he wasn't technically a rabbi. He was a teacher. They looked at him as a rabbi. He touched her. Wait a minute, Jesus, now you're unclean. No, you don't understand. I'm God. Leprosy can't make me clean. I heal leprosy. Now you're, it's like if someone had full-blown AIDS, and you might think that if you touched them, you would get sick. Let's say you thought that. And someone say someone else came up to them and touched them and hugged them, and they got healed right away. You go, oh, now you understand. And that's why this is so important. So God laid this complete understanding of all these holidays and all these laws and regulations. And Jesus came and said, now let me tell you who I am. And let me show you how I relate to those things. And let me define myself by relating to those things as only God could. Because you as a person can't touch those people and be healed. You as a person can't be immune to that. But I as God can, and watch me do it. That's why he didn't have to go around telling everybody all the time, I'm God. He just did it. He just did it. And he said it, and he took titles to himself that they understood as God. That's why when they said, are you the Christ, and God's my father, they said, we got to kill him. They understood what he was meaning based on the Old Testament. That's why so the evidence that he's Christ is so overwhelming. Okay? Are you with me? Are you following me?
Yes.
Good. Say lamb. Say impurity.
Impurity.
Say resurrection.
Resurrection.
Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Say trumpet.
Trumpet.
Say cover over. Say dwelling. Say forgiveness. Now watch this. I'm going to go through these seven festivals again. Oh, by the way, seven is, I remember I talked about seven is the number of divine completion. The number seven, the gestation period or pregnancy period of certain animals, I don't know if it's all animals. Forgive me for not knowing what all animals' gestation period is. But I wish I knew it enough to at least complete this sentence or this statement. A woman, a human female, is pregnant 7 times 40. Okay? 40 is another significant number in the Bible. It's the number of testing. Moses fasted 40 days. Elijah and Jesus all fasted 40 days. Moses lived 3, the number of divine perfection, times 40 years. He lived 40 years with Pharaoh's daughter. He lived 40 years as a shepherd. And he lived 40 years leading the Hebrews. And he died 120. That's very specific. God had it that way. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. When Noah built this ark, Goliath talked trash for 40 days before David whooped him. Next week, we're going to look at that story. This is true. How do we know this? It's in the Bible. So, Oh, yeah, no, I'm trying to think of another 40 in the Bible. There's a whole bunch of 40. The rain, 40 days, 40. Hey, huh? Yeah, Moses on Mount Sinai, 40, twice 40. So 40, 40, 40 all throughout the Bible. But a woman is pregnant 40 weeks. It's almost like a time clock. The baby's growing, the placenta's growing, and at 40 weeks, the baby's done. It's like a cake in the oven. Ding, got to come out. Now, what's interesting about a baby in 40 weeks, here's what's so fascinating about God is just, when I go to heaven, I don't know this. What do I know? I hope I could just spend time talking to one of God's angels, his science angels. Just ask him about this stuff. How did you do this? And explain to me how this worked. And this is one of those things I want to ask him. When the baby's in the mother's womb, the baby's in the mother's womb growing. At 40 weeks or so, and forgive me for getting these terms wrong. It's protein, enzyme, whatever it is, but it's something like that, is excreted out of the baby's lungs, comes through the baby's mouth into the amniotic fluid, and reacts with the mother's placenta to cause the beginning of contraction. So listen to what God did. This is so fascinating. God made this baby. The baby develops, and when the baby's lungs are ready to breathe, when the baby's lungs have developed to the point where they're breathing, they excrete this enzyme or protein, whatever it is, and it tells the placenta chemically, I'm ready to come out, and the placenta starts causing contractions, the baby's born. Now, you may believe in evolution. What happened? How long did that take to develop? And in the time that it took that to evolve, how were babies born? There's no life. It was all that way the first time. That's the definition of creation. Think about it. Just think about it. If it took 1 year to evolve, That means every other baby died. Then there's nobody alive. Well, they were born another way. How? I mean, come on. You have to understand, that's only one of thousands of different things that go on in the womb for the baby to be born. I mean, I told you about the one with the sperm. I don't want to, this is hilarious, with the 300 million sperm. 300 million sperm go into the woman, and most of them die in the first few seconds because the woman is a very violent environment. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Is anybody here from the medical field that can verify that I'm telling the truth? This is true. They just die. They get mowed down. But these sperm, let me just do this real quick because it's really fascinating. They go up, they go through the fallopian tube, and they just ward off all these enemy attacks, and they get into the fallopian tubes, and in the fallopian tubes, there are these little cilia called cilia. They're little hairs. They do this. You have cilia all over in your lungs. You have them in your ears. The little hairs do this. They do different functions. In your ears, they cause sound. In your lungs, they push up mucus. You ever have a little drip in your throat? It's because they're constantly pushing mucus out of your lungs. Well, these cilia are in the woman's tubes, and they're checking out the sperm. And they actually grab the sperm, and they hold them. They don't know what they're doing, but they hold them. And the sperm, you know, sperms are still wiggling, and they got the sperm by the head. And the sperm's like, let me go, let me go. This happens. And all these cilia, and the reason I'm telling you a story is that these all these different varied steps to just getting pregnant, that if any one of them don't exist, you don't even get pregnant. There is no life. So all these things had to be working the first time completely for you to get pregnant once. And if something is evolving over time, you have to then say, there was another version of this. And those versions all had to work the first time for it to even be evolved. Because if it don't, you die and there's no pregnancy. That's why the whole concept that we came from one species to another. There's two different kinds of evolution. There's macroevolution, one species to another. There's no evidence of that. Then there's microevolution, which is adjustments within a species. We see that all the time. You get a tan, you gain weight in the cold weather. That's not the evolution people are talking about when they say evolution caused all this life. It's one a single-cell animal going to a multi-cell animal from a monkey to an ape to a human. That's the evolution. That's called macro. There's no evidence of that. This God said, I'm going to make you complete and work the first time. And so to hear these sperm, now millions are dead already. Now you got the last few, you know, Navy SEAL type dudes that got through. And the sea is grabbing them. And then for some unknown reason, they let them go. Some they don't let go. I think they just strangle them. I made that up. I don't know what happens to them, but it's almost like they're checking them out. Okay, you're gonna be good in my egg, and you know, you get a job, or you want to get this good, you know, you want to be good, have a career, right? Right. Okay, we'll let you go. And then they start swimming. Here's the most fascinating thing. I wish I had the video because it's so fascinating. It is science fiction. They get to the egg. The egg is just imagine a tennis ball. It's called, and it's covered by a shell called a zona. And the shell is hard. And all these sperm are hitting on the zona, trying to get into the egg. Now, why are they going there in the first place? You ever think about that? They show you the sperm going, but why are they going there? What are they? They're not people. They're only the half the person. So how do they know that to even go there? How do salmon know to go back to where they were born to lay their eggs? How do they know that? You ever think about that? So to just say it just happened is so ridiculous. How do these sperm know to go? How does the cilia know to trap them? How does the woman's body know to release the egg? How does all that happen? That's why God's going to look and say, you knew all that and you just thought it happened with nobody programming it? Come on. That's like buying a car with GPS and saying, oh, it's just there. No one put it there. You would never think that. They start hitting the zona. Why are they hitting the zona? Why are they not going all over the place? They're hitting the zona. They can't get in, right? They can't get in. On the zona, they have, I believe, proteins. and they are different shaped proteins sticking out from this tennis ball. And the only sperm that gets in the egg is the sperm with the matching shape head to fit on the protein, like a Lego. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? That is how fascinating. Are you going to tell me that no one created that system? That just happened? You can really believe that? That takes more faith. So here's this thing comes, and it locks on, and the story don't end. When it locks on, it goes click, the head of the sperm dissolves and excretes an enzyme that burns a hole in the zona. It goes in the egg, seals up behind him, so none of that sperm get in, and then it fertilizes the egg. Come on. Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Oh my goodness. That was you. That was you. That was you. There is no way, there is no way that no intelligent being made that system. It's impossible. You would never ever think something as simple as this stage I'm standing on was not made by a person. And this stage is nowhere near as complicated as what I just explained to you. And by the way, if that system doesn't work one time, it can't evolve because it's you're dead. It has to work the first time perfectly. That's the only time. As a matter of fact, every single one of you are here because that happened in your life. That's amazing. Here's the other thing about the seven gestation period. A woman's pregnant 40 times seven. A bee, I believe a bee, is 3 times 7. A cow is something like 12 or 20 times 7. I don't know if every animal is a multiple of 7, but I do know those 3 are and others are a multiple of 7. Why? Because God is coordinated. Let's do our quiz when we get out of here. Everyone sit up straight. Woody back. Genesis is the book of?
Genesis.
Exodus is what from where?
Exodus.
Leviticus is the book about? Old Testament book about? LP, give it to me. Come on, you're getting weak now. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Had a son named Isaac's dad was
Jacob.
Abraham had a son named Isaac. Had a son named
Jacob.
Had his name was changed to
Israel.
He had how many sons?
Four.
Who was his third son?
Levi.
How many sons did he have? All Levi's descendants were called what?
Levi's.
Moses had a brother named?
Aaron
had a brother named?
Moses.
If Aaron's Moses' brother, Moses is Aaron's brother. Okay, Moses had a brother named? Aaron's sons were the?
Priests.
Oh, Aaron's sons were the?
Priests.
Aaron's sons were the?
Priests.
All the priests were Aaron's?
Son.
Aaron was the what priest?
High priest.
Jesus was the what high priest?
Great.
What? Yeah, very good. Say great high priest.
Great.
Say again. Very good. The priests were the 4 things that start with a C. They were what? When you made an offering, you brought something.
Here.
You brought something.
Here.
Offering means to bring something.
Here.
God had a very high da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- Because it does what?
Points to
who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Seven is the number of spiritual.
Jesus.
Spiritual.
Jesus.
Spiritual.
Jesus.
Eight is the number of what? God is what? Seven festivals. Jesus is the Passover what?
Lamb.
Passover what?
Lamb.
Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus removes our in. Say it again. Festival of First Fruits. Christ's resurrection is the first fruit or deposit for our. 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 Pentecost was how many days at the first fruits? How many days? How many days? How many days? 7 times 7 plus. 7 times 7 plus.
One.
On the day of Pentecost, God, Jesus sent the?
Holy
the what?
Holy
the what?
Holy
He's going to call us to heaven with the sound of a?
Trumpet.
Sound of a?
Trumpet.
Day of at-one-ment, where God does what to our sins? Atone. Very good. That is, he does atone, and atone means to cover over. Say cover over. Tabernacles, it refers to our eternal what? Dwelling. Say dwelling. And Jubilee, we are going to be eternally forgiven of everything. Eternally what? Before I end, let me tell you the seven things. Passover, let me go through the seven one more time in order and how they relate to the New Testament. Passover, lamb, Jesus died for our sins. Feast of unleavened bread, he removes our impurity. First fruit, he rises from the dead. Pentecost, he sends the Holy Spirit. Trumpets, he calls us to heaven. Day of Atonement, we get access in God's presence. And tabernacles, he gives us our eternal dwelling. Those are the seven holidays that the Jews celebrate every year. And all of that looks forward to the day when everything, all of our, we're in heaven and everything starts over with our relationship with God, a new heaven and a new earth. Those are the holidays God gave them in the Old Testament. And they don't get with Jesus at all. When you watch on the news and you see all the turmoil in Jerusalem, you ever wonder why they're always under attack? You ever wonder why the whole world's against them? And yet they're God's people? Because God told them, as we saw last week, you obey me, I will bless you. You don't obey me, I won't bless you. They are God's people. But with that comes a high. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. When they turn to Christ, everything's going to change. But if you ever wonder, why are we so preoccupied with them? Why is the world so preoccupied with them? It's because the devil is preoccupied with them. The devil's preoccupied with them. And so I always wondered that growing up. Why were the Jews the chosen people? What does that mean? Why are they always in? Because the devil is after them because he knows that they're God's people. And they have rejected Christ. And so that's just evidence to your eyeballs every day, literally 7 days a week. They're in the news. And the Muslim hates them. And what's ironic, well, just pray for our country. You know, one of the reasons we've been blessed is we've supported them. God told Abraham in Genesis 12 when he started the Hebrew people. In Genesis 12, he called Abraham out of his country. By the way, he called Abraham out of his country, a priest. And he says, I'm going to start a nation. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Genesis chapter 12. One of the reasons we are blessed is not only do we trust Christ, but we also bless God's people, Israel. As things wedge in between us and we walk away from Christ and walk away from that commitment, God's spiritual blessing will be removed. And you just look at our world and you can see that happening right before your eyes. And so the same thing is for you. You obey God, he blesses you. Pray for Israel every day. Whether you like them, agree them or not, that's not the point. They are the ones that through whom Christ came, and that's where Christ is coming back to. Pray for them. Pray that they turn to Christ, because the whole world will change when that happens. And so is it fair that those are God's people? God's not fair. He's righteous. If he was fair, we all be dead. Amen? So we don't want God to be fair. We should be blessed that God just told us what the rules are. And if those are the rules, then yes, sir, I'll do it. Because if you don't like it, I can kill you. Oh, no, I'll do this. Okay. It's like when I used to get killed. We all got to get out of here. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray everyone gets out of here real fast. Amen. God bless you. Practice your quiz this week. What?